Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 356. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive one at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or audio tape. It's all free of charge, including postage and handling. We have some music. We have a letter that my attorney sent to the Texarkana Gazette on February the 13th. They refused to print the truth about some things that were going on in a small town in Arkansas. And they deliberately told lies about our church and myself. I told you many times before that the media is the mouth of the dragon. The dragon is that great red dragon, it's the devil, Satan, who empowers the Vatican, the world government, and the media. What they forget is that I have my own radio program, and it's heard all over the world, and I'm going to tell on them any time that they do something like that. And a few people out in Radioland have things that are being that you're being lied about by the media. Just let me know. Tell me what it is, and I'll check it out. And if it's true, I will definitely air it on my program. We have, we're going to be reading from Revelations chapter 21, verses 9 through probably 13, and Psalms 122. We also, in the scriptures in Psalms, we have a scripture there that says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, are the new Jerusalem. And that's what we're going to be reading from in Revelations 21, 9 through 13, and Psalms 122, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. All right, we have some songs, and we have some, as I said, this Bible reading. And let's go up to the throne now to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, you take over this program. Lord, and let it be every word that comes from you and none from me at all. Lord, that the souls in the world will be saved and that the church will be strengthened. I ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Now, being it is that we're going to be reading about the New Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ, the church, and it's us, here I am with J.D. Sumner and the Sam's Quartet just saying, I, John.
Well, in that John, saw a mighty number, well, in the middle of the air. Well, that John, saw a mighty number, moving way in the middle of the air. Mighty, well, that John, saw a mighty number, moving well, in the middle of the air. Well, that John, saw a mighty number, moving way in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east, and there were three gates in the west, three gates in the north, three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, four square wide. Hallelujah, mighty you will I chance, almighty number, well, in the middle of the year. That John's almighty number, way in the middle of the year. Oh, John declared he saw a man, he had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go, cause he felt the gospel coming like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, John, take a look and read what you see. And they write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east, 12 angels in the west, 12 angels in the north, 12 angels Shooter City, four square wide. Hallelujah, God, nobody knows me like John. Somebody knows way up in the middle of the air. Like John, somebody knows way in the middle of the air.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, if the media or the government is falsely accusing you of anything, you could send it in to me, and, you know, I'll check it out. And if it's true, I'll read it on my program, because these people have to be stopped. They're like monsters, the same monsters that gassed 6 million Jews and many others in Germany. Of course, it was all sponsored by the Vatican, and I have so much proof on that. And I've been giving you the proof on that for a matter of around 25 years now. And so, if they're doing something to you, Christians need to be under the Spirit of the Lord, and we're supposed to fight Satan. The Bible says, resist him and he'll flee from you. So, if we're really a part of the flying saucer, in other words, the flying saucer is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. He is the wheel within the wheel, and we are the wheel. And we need to resist Satan. Satan has no power if we resist him. The Lord says so. He said, if we resist him, he will flee from us. So right now, I'd like to read this letter that my attorney sent to the Texarkana Gazette. What it was we had these people in this little town called Falk, Arkansas. I'm broadcasting from Los Angeles right now. What they did is they were firing guns at our church, and in the windows of the church, they broke one of them, and they were shooting right at the church, and there's a lot of young children and adults there, and nobody really has brought charges against. We try to bring charges against them, but nobody does anything. This town of Falk was, and I believe still is, the hub of the Ku Klux Klan. They claim that they're not that way anymore, but just yesterday we had some young boys, because they're trained by these Klansmen there. They fired four bullets of some sort at one of the people out there trimming the lawn. And when they shot at the church, and then they on the internet were saying that they were going to kidnap our children, they were going to assassinate me, they were going to blow up the church and all these things. The paper said that I hired security guards, because, I mean, what are you supposed to do? We're justified to do something like that. Many of these type of people are burning down churches all over the nation, and they're persecuting Christians, true Christians. And something needs to be done about these monsters. They're like Hitler, Vaticanite monsters. And so, my attorney actually wrote a stronger letter than the one that you're going to hear to them. He called them the same type monsters as that they were in World War II over in Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Germany. So here it is anyway, from Mr. Lieberman in New York. Okay, go ahead.
Dear Mr. Burgess, I am an attorney for Alamo Ministries and write to correct several gross falsehoods in an article by Jim Williamson in your February 10th, 2007 edition entitled Falk Council Meeting, an Entertaining Event. I trust you will make these corrections known to your reading public. In the article, Mr. Williamson states that, quote, a security company was hired by the ministries to stop traffic from driving on the streets.
We don't care if people drive on the streets, and never have. The only time we ever hired security guards, it's very costly to hire security guards. It runs into thousands of dollars every month. Every 2 weeks, $7,500, that's $15,000 a month over there, just to guard against these monsters. Then what?
That is not true. The reason that the ministries and its members hired the security company was to protect the ministries and its members from harassment and threats of others. These others have engaged in such acts as shooting out the ministry's signs, driving trucks over flower beds while screaming racist obscenities, throwing articles on the ministry's lawn, interrupting religious services, and other acts. They also have made public threats on the internet to kidnap children of the parishioners, and most recently to invade the ministry's property with guns and to burn it down. Surely the ministries is more than justified in retaining a private security agency to protect it from such harassment and threats. I would hope that Mr. Williamson and the Gazette would take more care to be accurate in reporting such matters, rather than merely mouthing the mantra of the very people whose actions and words have required the ministries to take such protective measures. Very truly yours, Eric Lieberman.
These people are such monsters, they actually named the name of the highway going through their monster, what's it, Monster Highway or
expressway.
What? Expressway. Monster Expressway, you know, like they're New York City or something. The expressway is a little town of Falk, Arkansas. Okay, now we have also a response from the literature. Go ahead and read that.
From Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I happened to come across your newsletter, Peace in the Middle East, The Only Answer. This was passed on to me by a friend. In fact, it was very interesting and improved me a lot. It touched my heart and changed me entirely. Therefore, I am requesting you to send me the newsletter and other literature of yours to enable me to acquire more knowledge about the Bible. Please, thank you. Signed, Dick T.O. from Nigeria, Africa.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, Sharon, let's read from the 21st chapter of Revelation. Okay, chapter 21, verses 9 through 13, or possibly 14. Go ahead.
And there came unto me
one of the... Okay, this is talking about the New Jerusalem. And in Psalm 122, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So, you know, when there's all these people firing guns at you, threatening to bomb our place, our churches, or anybody's church for that reason, this is like radical monsterism. It's like Gestapo, Germany, Vatican type tactics, the ones that the Bible says that the Vatican, Rome, is responsible for every evil thing that's done on earth. Absolutely. Even if you see these children that are knifing and shooting each other in schools, it's all inspired by the Vatican. They run these kind of movies on television and the children see them. Everybody knows that. You'd have to be 45 points lower than a plant to not know. Oh, they're stirring the children up, and there's riots going on in Los Angeles and New York, all over the world, because of the things that they're seeing on the Vatican's One World Media. And, you know, they need to be shut down. If we're going to resist Satan, we have to resist him. The Bible says that we're more powerful, that God is more powerful in us, and that God is more powerful, if we do what he says, than the devil. So in order to resist Satan, we have to expose him. And if we do, because of the fact that God is more powerful than him, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from us. So we need to expose all these evil things that they keep saying in the media. Well, it could be related to the bad movies that are being shown on television in the motion picture theaters. It could be, you know. Come on. I mean, you'd have to be a mental case to not know that all these things have happened since they've put out all these different motion pictures and the talk shows on radio are mocking the gospel. The only stability that there is in the world is the gospel. And, of course, it's they do everything in their power to make it look like it's vogue to attack Christians. But, you know, the Bible says that Satan has made war against God. Well, we are one with God. We are one with Christ. In other words, the flying saucers you see are definitely, Sue and I prayed that we would, if there were such things, show them to us, and he did. And these are symbolic of the church, with Christ as the center of the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church goes where the Lord goes. He says that his people follow him, his sheep follow him wherever he goes. And it's symbolic all throughout the Bible, including in the book of Revelation, where it says that the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches, and there's one like unto the Son of Man, who is, Jesus called himself that as well as the Son of God, that walks in the midst of the seven churches. And the Lord reproves the seven churches for not being one with him, for not laying down their former life. And he's reproving them for not abandoning their old life, and also to abandon their future, not only in the world, but we're to abandon any future that we plan for ourselves in the ministry. So there's a result of all his this is called consecration. So the result of all this is that we are caused to cut off all every kind of relation that we ever had in the world and any relationship with any religions. Now, that's exactly what I did when I got saved, when I realized that the Lord was alive and well and that he was able to control me and make me say things that I never would say. I realized that he's the boss, and so I gave up. I was asked to do the promotion and be the managers of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and I was also asked to do the promotion for Pete Best of the Beatles, and I did his promotion, and I was doing a promotion for Bobby Jameson. I was asked to do the promotion for the actual Democratic Party, the entire party, including the President of the United States, and many other things. And when I found out, and I have a Beatles album that Pete Best gave me for doing his promotion, and I dropped all this. I even threw it in the trash can. But then my wife, late wife, Susie, told me to take it up because people wouldn't believe me. But she says, keep it to prove to the people that you've completely consecrated your life to the Lord. You've left every relationship that I had before, I completely left. And it wasn't so much of me just saying, okay, I'm saved now, I'm leaving you. What it was that they didn't want to hear me talk about the gospel. And so that severed all former relationships with me. And all the people in show business, I severed my relationship with them. And this is consecration. So the result of it is that we are caused to cut off all our relationships with people, because if you're really of the Lord, that's going to happen anyway. They're going to cut themselves off from you, and all my friends now are a complete new set of friends. All the people that I was friendly with, almost every single one of them, that especially all of them that never got saved, we're not friendly anymore. We have no relationship together. I witness to them, and that just cuts us off, puts us further and further away from each other. So we're going to, so this makes me a member, just one of the many members of the body of Christ, which is actually the New Jerusalem. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because the Vatican and Satan is doing everything in their power to attack the New Jerusalem, which is those of us that are saved, both Jew and Gentile. We all become one in Christ Jesus. We're actually the body of Christ. Christ doesn't do any work without using his body. And we can't do a thing without him, because then we'd be without a head. Christ is our head, and we are his body. And the body can't do anything without the head, and the head can't do a thing on this earth without a body. The Lord saved our souls to go out and win people. That's what it's all about, is to win people to be part of the New Jerusalem, to be his body, his church, his bride. His bride is the New Jerusalem. So this is just a little bit of what you're going to hear in this 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. So go ahead and read where John, who also is the John that wrote the Gospel of John in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he also wrote the book of Revelation. So here he is. The Lord is telling him things. Go ahead, read it.
And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues.
Okay, the Lord is not Mother Nature that's sending plagues down on this earth. It's the Lord, and he mentions that all throughout the Bible, that he is the one that's doing it. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. Why do Gentiles want to make up, comics, fantasy? That's one thing I don't like. People just like to talk about Tom Thumb and the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and Bugs Bunny and the Flying Elephant and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. They wean their children. I mean, they don't even wean their children. They just keep going on this all their life. All their lives. That's what makes Disneyland and Disney World such a big business in the world. But the Lord says, love not the world, and forsake the world. Consecrate yourself unto the Lord. Abandon all these old life. Abandon all these things, even to plan the future. When I was saved, I never wanted to be any big evangelist. I never wanted to have a world. I never even dreamed of having a worldwide ministry. As a matter of fact, I never even preached the gospel until after Susie died. When she died, I prayed to the Lord, what shall I do? And he's the same as this, what shall I do? What shall I do? And I says, Lord, let me write. Give me the ability to win souls. And so he gave me the gift, and that's what I'm doing today. As Susie's been gone now, this April will be around 25 years. It'll be 25. April 8th, 1982 is when she died. 82 to 92, 2002, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 25 years next month. All right, April the 8th, 82. So I've been preaching ever since then and writing gospel literature ever since. But I never wanted to. I don't want to do anything, good or bad. I just wanted to be part of the body of Christ. I had no ambitions, no career plans. It shocked me when Susie died. I always pushed her out to be the preacher. There's so many people that say, I want to do this and I want to do that. Will you give us the money to build a church? Why are you ambitious? Just let the Lord lead, guide, and direct you. Die out to your ideas and your opinions and your career mind. Don't plan any career out in the world. To abandon all that. Abandon everything. The Lord called you into the ministry. Just be happy that you're saved. And let the Lord open the doors for you. Don't wish for one thing or another. And the Lord always, to a person that doesn't want these kind of things, he always makes them do it. Moses never wanted to go and tell Pharaoh these things. I didn't want to be, to tell the world all these different things that I'm telling them today. But I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do what I'm told. And, most people don't understand, well, you're not popular. Well, I'm not. If I wanted to be popular, I'd be a politician. I'm the exact opposite of politicians, all right? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm telling you the truth. And I've got a Beatles album that proves it. I haven't sold that, and I've been told it's worth anywhere from $50 to $100 million. I'll never sell it, all right, because I have abandoned everything out of the world. Okay, Sharon, go ahead and read from Revelation.
And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the
holy... Okay, remember this, because in Psalms it talks about the great and high mountain too. Jerusalem. So this is pattern. The Lord loves Jerusalem. And here he is showing that he loves Jerusalem so much that he calls her his bride. And the bride, and not all Israel is Israel, because not every Jew believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God. As a matter of fact, a lot of them just believe in the writings of Moses, and they don't believe in the rest of the prophets. Some do, some don't. And a lot of them don't believe in the New Testament, the fulfillment of the Old Testament. But the Lord loves Jerusalem, and the Jerusalem that he really loves is the entire body of Christ. That's his bride. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead in a one body. All right, go ahead.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
Yeah, jasper stone is like a yellowish honey color. Then what?
And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates.
East, west, north, and south. 3 gates on each side of that wall. East, west, north, and south. How beautiful. Then what?
And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
All right, praise the Lord. And we're all the lively stones. Now the city is made out of gold, precious stones, and pearls. And these are the building materials of the New Jerusalem. The Lord wants us to be refined like gold. He wants us to be the pearl of great price that he paid his life for on the cross. And he wants us to be the pearls and the gold, which the streets of Jerusalem are made of. And so gold, precious stones, and pearls is symbolic of what we are after we've totally abandoned our old life, our old desires for a career. Like you hear these boxers saying, I just thank and praise the Lord, you know, because I beat this guy's brains in. Or I just thank God, you know, that I won all these basketball games and football games and all the. The Lord doesn't want you to have careers of any kind. He doesn't even want you to be related to anything like that. He wants you in the ministry. There is no ministry. You see some of these guys breaking concrete blocks with their heads. The Lord doesn't want to use your body parts to do things like that, or to smash concrete blocks, or to show how physically strong you are. The Lord wants you to have him living in and through you, and for you to be, so to speak, dead. Your old life is dead. Your career that you're seeking is dead. You don't have any desires for a career. You don't have any sordid sexual desires like lesbianism and homosexuality. It's like when a person bring, in the Old Testament, somebody would bring a bullock or some animal to sacrifice, like a lamb, to be burnt as a sacrifice unto the Lord, because before the Lord came into the world, all the sacrifices were symbolized by an animal. And so what they were, the animal would be taken out of wherever it lived, if it lived in a barnyard or in a corral. So its entire environment was changed. And then it was taken to the high priest, and then it was slain. They cut its neck off, and naturally when you cut the neck off of some animal, the head comes off with it. And all the important parts of that animal, the blood is drained out, and it completely is dead, because it's symbolic of Christ who died for the sins of the world. And then because of the fact that he was dead and he died, we have to sacrifice ourselves too and be consecrated unto him, which means that we don't have a career anymore. Once you're dead, you don't have any worldly career anymore. You don't even, when you come into the realm of the Lord, you just become a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. You just let him live in you and through you. And you have to put on the mind of Christ, the Bible says. And you must let Christ grow up in you to the fullness of the stature of Christ. You must grow up in him, and he must grow up in you, to where there's no more of your former life any longer. But at any rate, let's continue on here. All right, let's go to the Psalms. Psalm 122.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Okay, now, the house of God is the body of Christ. That is the New Jerusalem. I was glad when they said, come on into the New Jerusalem, into the church, into the house of God. The house of God is the body of Christ, where the Lord lives, okay? So I was glad when they said, come in to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? And we, not just you alone, but we have to enjoy and to know the church life. We have to be together. We have to serve the Lord together with one mind, one spirit, one God, one Savior, one God. One purpose, not basketball, football, baseball, or some kind of PhD degree or anything like that. We have to forsake all these things that we did before. We have to totally abandon them, our old life, and also to abandon our future. Our future is no future at all. Our future is the Lord. All right? If you're really a Christian, then you have no future. The Lord will plan your whatever he's going to have you do or be. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So now Psalm 122. I was glad when they said, come on into the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, the house of God, the Bethel. The temple. I want to be the temple of God. I want to be one of the members of the temple of God. God wants to live in a building with all of us together serving him. My sheep hear my voice, and another will they not follow. Amen?
Amen.
That means if he's leading you, then you have forsaken your past. You can't have one foot in the world and the other in the Lord. If you've got one foot in the Lord in the world, you've got both of your feet in the world. All right, you're either in the Lord or you're in the world. There's no in between. All right, then what?
Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem.
Okay, yes, our gates. There's 12 gates, amen?
Amen.
Three on each side. We're in the New Jerusalem. Then what? Our feet are going to be there, not out in the world. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together.
Yeah. We are compacted together. It's like we're all a building for the Lord to live in. Amen?
Amen.
And it states that in the New Testament. Okay, then what?
Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony.
Yeah, not the tribes of the world, but the tribes of the Lord. The ones that love to go into the house of God. Not religion, because religion, the Bible says, is of the devil. But salvation is of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to be like the body of Christ. We have to forsake the world and religion. Religion, it does not forsake the world. As a matter of fact, the Vatican is the number one political force in the world. They are all the world. They run the world. The God of this world controls them and all these other false religions. Then what?
Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord.
Yeah, I give thanks to God because no one told me that I had to forsake my old life. I just threw that Beatles album in the trash. My scrapbooks that I saved, you know, of all the different promos I did and all this, I threw in the trash. I just knew, I just wanted to do that. I didn't want any part of the world anymore. The trashy females or the trashy men out there, I didn't want to do business with them anymore. They were liars. Okay, then what?
For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Okay, pray for the peace of it. I mean, we're getting threatened every day of our lives. Not that it bothers us, because we resist Satan. And if you want to have peace, then you must resist Satan as well. Amen?
Amen.
Resist the world and all these temptations that come your way. I get all kinds of opportunities because of the fact that I was noted as the number one promo person that was visible to anyone. I'm sure there might be other ones, but I was asked to be in business with Roy Rogers. He had a bunch of these chicken places he was opening, and he wanted me to be partners with him. And I rejected that. I even forget about all the different deals that are thrown at me all the time. And I just say, no, I mean, I have nothing to do with the world anymore. I have no future. I've abandoned any future plans for myself. I just want the Lord to plan my future, all right? And I don't want to take it upon myself to have thousands of churches all over the world. If the Lord opens the door for it, well, I will. With his power, he will open the door for all these things. And if it's of the Lord, well, sure, I want to do everything that the Lord wants me to do. All right, but I have no actual plans myself. I pray about everything. Then what?
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee.
Yeah, the Lord said, I'll bless them that bless you, the Jew, in other words, the New Jerusalem, and those of Israel that are Israel, the real Israel. Then what?
Peace be within thy walls.
Yes, peace. We do have peace within our walls, but we'll have more peace if all the brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the body of Christ, in the New Jerusalem, who are the bride of Christ, because the New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ, and we are members of that. No one is greater than the other. It's the Lord is the great one, and he plans what we're going to do and what we're going to be and who we're going to talk to today and tomorrow and who to refuse and who to accept. There's people that come into my church and they don't like different things. Like the Lord told me to keep the girls and the sisters in one area and have their services, and then also to separate them. If they want to get married, fine, but they let each other know there's no hanky-panky going on in our church. It's like they have, in many religions, they split the men and women up because there's promiscuity going on, even in the house of God. I have to run it the way the Lord says, and people that want to come in and change it, I won't accept them into the church. It's absolutely because I'm under strict orders from the Lord to do what he wants to do. Okay, and then was that it?
No.
Okay, keep going.
Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say.
Okay, in thy palaces. Okay, the temples, in other words, which the Lord lives in. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then what? Read that again.
For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee.
Within you, yes, because if Christ is in us, peace is in us, because he's the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Amen.
And so peace will be within us. And if we do what he says, resist Satan. And that means to resist all of our idle thoughts. Because you have to draw a circle around them. Because after all, after we become a pile of ashes, just like the sacrifices in the Old Testament, those bullocks or the lambs that were sacrificed as symbolic of Christ dying for the sins of the world, they're not able to do anything any longer. They no one can tempt them to have sex. No one can tempt, nothing can tempt them to have sex with without being married. No one can tempt them to be a homosexual or a lesbian because they're a heap of ashes. So they, you know, but yet we still have to resist. We draw a circle around it and then draw a line through it, an X through it. Just like you see these no smoke signs. It's a circle with a line through a cigarette. The devil comes and tempts you to be in business with a bunch of chains of chicken places, you draw a line through it and say, no, my career is with the Lord, not out in that world. If the Lord tells me to instruct people, people have to work, I mean, that's for sure, or you don't eat. But still, that's part of the gospel. But to plan a career of any sort, we have to abandon the old type of life. And I didn't know what I was going to do because my business was promotion, and I was good. And I made a lot of money in the promotional field, in the record industry, in the motion picture industry, and promotion of all different types of things. So I couldn't do that anymore. And I'm legally blind, and I didn't know what I could do, but I just know I didn't want to do anything. I said, look, just what, you know, whatever I'm supposed to be. And the Lord introduced me to Sue, my late wife, and she started teaching me about the Bible. She knew that the Lord was coming back to earth again. I never knew that until the Lord told me in that office that day. And I didn't realize that God threatened people. He said, either I will tell people about that the Lord's coming back to earth again, or I would die and I knew it, and I'll go to hell. And so I didn't know anything about the Lord, so I really praise and thank God for giving me that godly woman that knew the Bible as well as she did. And she knew the Lord. That was the main thing. A lot of people know the Bible, but they don't know the Lord, because the Lord was living in her, and she had supernatural visions and dreams and signs and wonders when she was just a little girl. And she passed all that on to me, and we read the Bible together. And so I learned a lot of these things, but all the time I knew that I didn't want to be in the world anymore. There wasn't anything in the world that I loved. There wasn't anything in the world that I loved. I did not like the filthy, degenerated females. As a matter of fact, when I got saved, I wanted to become a eunuch. And the Lord told me I was going to get married to Sue. So I had nothing, there's nothing beautiful or wonderful about the people in the world. They all need to be saved. Once they're saved and once they consecrate themselves unto the Lord and abandon their old lives and abandon any future, then they become somebody that you can admire. So there is a result of all this consecration business. The result of it is that we are caused to cut off all our relationships with people that we knew before. All matters and things, just as I did when I first was saved. And especially to abandon our future and entirely belong to the Lord. We need to think about that. We need to meditate about that and see if you want to pay that kind of a price. I mean, it was no big deal to me. I hated the world. As a matter of fact, one night, I was just after I got saved, I was standing outside of a restaurant called Aldo's on Hollywood Boulevard, and some men and women came out, and they were just talking in front. It was kind of cold because I got saved the night before Christmas, and they looked over at me, and I could hear them say, "Man, now there's a hard-looking dude." And that was me because I was so bitter. It was written all over my face. So we need to meditate about this also in the light of the offerings of the Old Testament. When a sacrifice, such as a bullock, was taken for a sacrifice and offered upon the altar, he was immediately cut off from where he lived before. So in all the animals in the barnyard, where his relationships are all gone already. And if so this is symbolic of just leaving all and going with the Lord. Just like Matthew was a tax collector, the Lord says, "Come on." And he just left the money on the table and left. The Lord came to Moses and told him to go to Pharaoh. Well, Pharaoh didn't want to do it. He began arguing with the Lord because he stuttered, or he had some kind of a speech impediment, and he was actually even ashamed to talk. Finally, the Lord convinced him. The Lord didn't have to convince me. I mean, he convinced me in the office. He put such fear in me because he actually exists. That was the biggest revelation that I believe I'll ever have in the world. All the other revelations that I've received from the Lord, even seeing him in person, wasn't that radical, because I'd already believed that he existed. And when he appeared to me with my eyes wide open, I knew that it was him. And it just enticed me all the more to just leave everything. Everything is like filth and dirt after I saw him in this world. Like, how could anybody trust these females today unless they're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? How could anyone want to be married to such people as that? So I just couldn't understand. I mean, when I was in prison, in jail for the gospel's sake, they were bringing one woman in over in Van Buren, Arkansas, where I was in that jail awaiting trial, the trial that incidentally I won. Just every kind of accusation against the people. They were bringing one woman in there after another that they were committing adultery, and so their husband spanked them or slapped them across the mouth. And while they were sleeping, they went and killed their husband. Well, in the Bible, it says that a woman's supposed to be stoned to death if she commits adultery, not just slapped, but killed. All right? But that is so vastly contrary to the world. The world believes that it's all right to commit adultery, and if a man slaps a woman for committing adultery or fornication or being a lesbian, that the man should be punished. See, that's why you can tell that this is Satan's government, and this, the laws, all these laws are by the Vatican. Eventually, the Vatican, the Pope, will say that he is Christ, and he'll start enforcing laws against adultery, and he will have people put to death for that, to make sure that people know, and he'll start reading the Bible saying that this is what you're supposed to do. But there was a woman in the Bible that was caught in the very act of adultery, and all these people came in there, these men, and stated, "Okay, Jesus, doesn't the Bible say that a woman's supposed to be stoned to death if she commits adultery?" And he said, "That's right. Now go ahead and stone her to death." He didn't take that law away. He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to enforce it, to fulfill it." In other words, to keep it in a human body. And so he said he didn't take away the death penalty for adultery. Not only are you to slap her, you could put her to death, but you better not do it in this government today. The Bible now says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And just, if, you know, my wife ever committed adultery on me, I'd just kick her out the house, or I'd just leave her. Okay? That's enough. The punishment that she's going to get on the day of judgment will be enough. That's sufficient. God really knows how to burn people. He created hell. He created heaven and hell. And then he even died so that we don't have to go to hell in the lake of fire. But if you don't resist Satan, well, temptation will come. Somebody will point the finger at you and say, come hither to me. And you will. And instead of saying, I'm a heap of ashes. I'm not alive. I'm not going to receive this. And draw a circle around that and put a slash through it. Fornication, adultery, lesbianism, homosexuality, or murder. Bible, the original writing doesn't say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder. So if you're a burnt sacrifice and you've left the world, then you let God punish him. You just walk away from him because you're not to forgive him. The Bible, Jesus himself said, this is the one thing that you can leave, divorce a woman for, is adultery. Slash! Get rid of her. That's the thing to do. If they commit, if they have a sex act with somebody and they're married to you, get rid of them. Because they're going to do it again and again. They're going to bring home AIDS to you. You can forgive them if you want to. But you can't really forgive sin because the Bible said only God can. But you just don't go back to bed with them ever again. Don't do it. Because you're a heap of ashes. You can't be enticed anymore. You're a burnt sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. So you have to reject the entire world, just like a bullock that's taken away from its master and all of its companions, and was taken away from his home in the barnyard, wherever it was, and after he was consumed by fire, he even lost his original shape. And that's what we do too. We don't have the same mind, the same heart, or the same soul. Our soul has been redeemed, and this power of God's in us, and we have become a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And so, you know, there's a time, if the world is more important to you than that, well, then the Lord doesn't force you to do it. But know this one thing, that at the end of the world, you will not spend eternity in heaven. You will be burnt. If you don't go through the fire on this earth, in other words, to turn away everything, and to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord, well, then you will be forced to go through fire eternally, and it'll be a burning fire. It'll be something that is billions and trillions of times worse than anything that you'd have to go through on this earth to serve the Lord. I see my time is up, so why don't you accept the Lord as your Savior, and why don't you... Anyone that loves mother, father, sister, brother, son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, the Lord, or any lust of this world. So let's say if you don't want to go to hell and the lake of fire, if you don't want to scream your head off forever in the lake of fire, then say this prayer to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I just praise and thank the Lord, and keep praising and thanking him, and read the word, because the word is spirit and life, and be baptized, fully submerged in water, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And also, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how, All you got to do, any questions you have about the Bible, write them in or call them in, and I'll be glad to tell you. Now, here's Sharon to tell you how you can receive a free copy, postage and handling taken care of, a tape, an audio tape, or a CD of Program 356.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tune in tomorrow for another powerful message of how to have God's life living in you and how to live a successful Christ-filled church life. And here's H.B. Barnum's choir, the Life Choir, singing the Life for Our Song.